Blog Talk Radio.
That the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our lesson this evening and basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to call in at 7 p.m. at 319-527-6204. And you can also call in your prayer requests at that time at from 6 to 7 p.m. And our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit, the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. So at this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come you
Our Father, you have given us all gifts, and we give to you this day the gift of ourselves. We thank you for life, for the strength to earn our money, and for the motivation to return a portion of our money to you. Use these gifts in a way that brings glory to your name, strength to your cause, and power to your church. We give our lives to you, for you have given the greatest gift of all to us, your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection.
praising you, Father, for your camp as a full appreciation of your glory. For as long as we live to magnify your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord with me, somebody. Forever we love you. Forever we live to worship you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus.
I live for you.
Amen. Praise God. We live for you, Lord. Now it is time for our devotional message, which is entitled, I Want You to Learn a New Habit. Praise God. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms chapter 63, verse 2. And it says, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Amen. My second scripture reading is coming from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 through 11. And it says, see, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Amen. To God be the glory. And my third scripture reading is coming from Psalms, the 139, verses 7 through 10, and it says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settled on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title of this message is, I want you to learn a new habit. Try saying, I trust you, Jesus, in response to whatever happens to you. If there is time, think about who I am in all my power and glory. Ponder also the depth and breadth of my love for you. This simple practice will help you see me in every situation, acknowledging my sovereign control over the universe. When you view events from this perspective, through the light of my universal presence, fear loses its grip on you. Adverse circumstances become growth opportunities when you affirm your trust in me, no matter what. You receive blessings gratefully, realizing they flow direct from my hand of grace. Your continual assertion of trust in me will strengthen our relationship and keep you close to me. To God be the glory. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it was to me. At this time, I will play another selection, and you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that we offer our gifts to you with joy. We are grateful to you for providing us with work and strength to accomplish that work. We thank you for life. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for fellowship in the church. And we thank you for opportunities to serve you. Make us adequate for the task to which you have called us. Make us sensitive to the needs of those who are around us, and make us aware of your presence within us. We pray in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection.
In the dichotomy of man, my flesh cries out because my burdens get heavy and my mind seems confused. But my spirit answers back and says, don't worry. God is right there. He's never failed. He will fight every battle. I've learned to trust in the Lord.
trust in Jesus.
My life trusted.
Oh, yeah.
My life trusted.
In the midst of all of my trials.
My life trusted.
All of my tribulations.
My life trusted.
I learned to trust in Jesus.
My life trusted.
Oh,
trust in
I trust in Jesus, he's my friend. I will trust in the Lord. Put your trust, put all your trust, put it in Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we begin now to anticipate the gift of your Son. O Heavenly Father, to remind us that he is your gift to us and not our gift to ourselves. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, reveals who you really are and what you really want from us. Our gifts are but a sign that all our life is given freely to you. Remind us that the greatest gift is your Son, and every gift we give is a way of remembering and being thankful. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's be like this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the
problem.
The problem may be
He's in control.
He's in control and He knows
yep,
everything.
I have the victory cause.
I have the victory for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move.
In Him I live, move and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what.
No matter what. The problem may be
He's in control.
He's in control and He knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory for He is my King.
Him I live, I move,
in
and
Him
I live,
I
move,
and have my King.
Say like the best of people.
The
Come
peace.
On, lift them up in here.
He's in control and He knows everything.
I have the victory,
I have the victory for He is my King.
In Him I live.
In Him I live, move and have my being.
Say that again. No matter what.
No matter what the problem may
Come on, clap your hands like this and sing it with us.
He's in control and He knows everything.
I have the victory
for He is my King.
In Him I live.
In Him I live.
If you believe that, sing this with the blessed of people. Come on, lift Him up.
God, it is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. And the title of this message is Resilient Faith. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. And this is Jesus speaking, amen? And it says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follow it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes and torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse. Because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey, it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come, and the wind beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. 1 second. Praise God. Okay. Amen. So those scriptures were saying that the two lives Jesus compares at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, have several points in common. They both build, they both hear Jesus' teachings, and they both experience the same set of circumstances in life. The difference between them isn't caused by ignorance, but by one ignoring what Jesus said. Externally, their lives may look similar, but the lasting structural difference will be revealed by the storms of life. The immediate differences in your life when you follow Jesus may not be obvious, but eventually they will turn out to affect even your eternal destiny. To what degree does your life reflect the direction Jesus gave in this sermon? Amen? Think about that. So again, the title is Resilient Faith. And the text for this message is coming from Matthew 7:26, and it says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Amen. The writer says, towering duns along the north shore of Silver Lake put nearby homes at risk of sinking into shifting sands. Though the residents tried moving mounds of sand in effort to protect their home, they watched helplessly as well-built houses were buried right before their eyes. As a local sheriff oversaw the cleanup of a recently destroyed cottage, he affirmed the process could not be prevented. No matter how hard homeowners tried to avoid the dangers of these unsteady embankments, the duns simply could not provide a strong foundation support. Jesus knew the futility of building a house on sand. After warning the disciples to be wary of false prophets, he assured them that loving obedience demonstrates wisdom, Matthew 7:15-23. He said that everyone who hears his words and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. in verse 24. The one who hears God's word and chooses not to put them into practice, however, is like a foolish man who built his house on sand, in verse 26. When circumstances feel like shifting sands, burying us under the weight of affliction or worries, we can place our hope in Christ, our rock. He will help us develop resilient faith built on the unshakable foundation of his unchanging character. Amen. To God be the glory. Question, how does obedience demonstrate your trust in God? In what areas of your life are you standing on the shifting sands of disobedience to him? Think about those two questions. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Jesus, please help us develop resilient faith. Empower us to demonstrate our trust through loving obedience to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection. And again, at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson and talk, Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, you can dial in 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. when our speaker for this evening will come and conduct our Bible study for this evening. Amen. Praise God. And you can also call in your prayer requests. We pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Amen. At this time, I will play another selection, Jesus Saves by the Wiggy Tongues.
Hard time will make your face too fat. A waste of life, you can't turn back. Mama cried so much till she had a heart attack. In your cell, you're crying out, oh Lord. In the dark, disappoint answers your call. You feel the Holy Spirit anointed you fall. The light of His word, pick you up and stand tall. Stand tall.
Father, you have given us so much, life, health, love, and salvation. As we present ourselves to you, they seem small and insignificant compared to what you have given us, but they represent the dedication of our hearts to your will. Accept our gifts as you have accepted us. Please forgive us our sins. Strengthen us for the work before us. Prepare us, period of worship, and guide us with your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen, amen, and amen. And while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play another selection.
Letting go of all my fears, saying goodbye to the mirror. don't know where, I don't know where, I don't know how, but my God will deliver me. I don't know where, I don't know where, I don't know how, but my God will deliver me. Lord, I have no other hope but you. 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 So when the dawn comes and there's no light in, and I'm feeling lost, I know you can deliver me. Even if my heart breaks and my back's against the wall, and there's no one here, even then you can deliver me. Cause Lord, I have no other hope for you.
Barbara Amore is going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen.
Good evening. How's everyone?
Blessed
and highly favored. Praise the Lord. I'm blessed and highly favored also. Good to hear your voices.
Amen. Yours
Amen.
Too.
So we're only three on the line right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Amen.
We're going to open in prayer. As usual. Sister Coates, would you bring us in prayer?
Oh, Father, we thank you for this another day that you allowed us to have. We ask that you continue to watch over us, protect us, and shield us from all hurt, harm, and danger. And we thank you for this opportunity to speak once more concerning your word. We ask mm-hmm. that you open up our hearts and our minds in the name of Jesus and to trust in you with all our hearts. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
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 Thank you so much. If my audio is distorted, just let me know. I'll take it off.
Okay.
All right. We're going to pick up where we left off from. Still talking about the Bible and origins. What does that mean to anybody?
the Bible in its beginning.
Okay. And basically where things came from.
Yes.
So we're going to go to part 7, the appearance of history. Any act of creation will of necessity carry with it the appearance of history. Even if God originally created only the simplest forms, they would have necessarily had the appearance of some history. The first light source, the waters, the first vegetation, even if only the seeds, the sun and moon, the creatures, and Adam and Eve all had the appearance of history when they first appeared. Any thoughts about that paragraph?
No, it's self-explanatory.
Indeed, this is normal for miracles. Four of our Lord's miracles involve apparent history. The wine made from water at Cana had the appearance of having gone through the natural processes involved in making wine, but in fact it had not. John 2, verses 1 through 11. And I asked someone to get that in a moment. The food, 5,000 men on one occasion, as well as that which fed 4,000 later, the appearance of having been grown and harvested, whereas in actuality, it had no such chronological history. So Evangelist Hilda, would you get John 2, 1 through 11?
Okay. Got it. I'm reading from the New Living.
Okay.
And it says, the next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Canaan in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him they have no more wine. Dear woman, that's not our problem, Jesus replied. My time has not yet come. But his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. Standing nearby were 6 stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servant, fill the jars with water. When the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremony. So the servant followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though, of course, the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. A host always served the best wine first, he said. Then, when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine, but you have kept the best until now. This miraculous sign at Canaan in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
Amen.
Thank
you.
Amen.
So, amen. What do you think about that?
Awesome. That was the beginning of Jesus' miracles. And he
performing miracles.
Right. He like was waiting to hear, I guess, to hear from his father before he does anything. Like he told the mother that when she said there was no more wine, so he said, what does that have to do with us? And he mm-hmm. said that my time has not yet come. Mm-hmm. But his time had come, but, you know, he had to delay a little second before he turned it into wine.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that God has created. Just mute yourself for a moment, please. That God has created with the appearance of history in the past seems irrefutable. You can't argue with it. The only question is, how much of this did he do? No more than was necessary, and not anything that would tend to deceive us. God's own evaluation of his creative work was that it was good. God's miracles were done to show forth his glory, John 2:11. Goodness and glory leave no room for deception. So I believe you read that, John 2:11.
Beginning of the time.
Yes.
Amen. So can you read that again, just John 2:11?
Sure. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him.
Okay, and you saying Canaan, but
Canaan?
I believe it's
Canaan.
It's Cana.
Cana.
C-A-N-A, Cana.
Okay.
Okay. I'm just double checking since I wasn't listening where you were, but it's a very familiar passage.
Mm-hmm.
2:11?
Yes.
This was the beginning of the signs Jesus did at Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory.
Says,
and his disciples believed in him.
C-A-N-A, Cana.
Cana.
Okay, so that was a miracle.
Yeah, that was the first miracle.
So what is a miracle?
As a first sign.
I didn't hear you.
I called it the way I see it. It said it was the beginning of the sign. So there's many miracles that went on in the scripture because of those that was born blind, that was healed, the woman with the issue of blood. So, but this is the beginning of the signs of the manifestation of his glory.
Okay, but what is a miracle? That's my question.
Well, when something happens supernaturally.
Okay. And as what I'm reading, it says it was not a natural process. When they made the wine, when he made the miracle of the wine.
Right.
It didn't.
But something happened supernaturally.
When we go through the... When we go through the process of making wine, there's a certain, you know, way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, the plucking of the grapes or whatever. And then you have to let it set aside and ferment. And none of that happened.
No.
The water, miraculously, because of him, Jesus,
mm-hmm.
was turned into wine. when he fed the 5,000. When you're saying something, I don't know what you're saying, so.
No, I said it was a supernatural.
Right. So when Jesus fed the 5,000, that was not a natural way of doing it. There was no harvest. They were in the wilderness. There were no grocery stores around. There was no farm around. But miraculously, supernaturally, these 5,000 men plus women and children were fed.
Uh-huh.
Amen. So we know what it came from. It had an origin, right?
Yes.
What was the origin?
But it showed that the power.
Just answer my question. Please answer my question, then you can give me your thoughts. What did the origin of it come from?
The origin, it came from Jesus.
Where did the origin of the feeding of the 5,000 come from?
The miracle.
What do you mean? And what do you mean? The basket and the fish and the bread, the loaves of bread that was in the basket?
Right. Right.
Okay.
Two fishes and five loaves. It came from the fishes and five loaves. I said, there was no place to go shopping and such, but through the supernatural, through the beauty of the gift of God.
The manifestation of the power of God. Yeah.
Jesus was able to create a feast to the point that they had 12 baskets remaining after everybody was fed.
Uh-huh.
So, part 8, some concluding observations. 1, there was an actual, factual, historical, supernatural creation of the heavens, earth, and man by God. To deny, or compromise this by casting doubt on the reliability of Genesis does not do away with this truth. For the original creative activity of God is mentioned elsewhere in the Bible. And it's several scriptures here, and I'll give you that in a moment, but I'm going to ask Sister Coates to get Exodus 20, verse 11, and 31 and 17. I ask you for it. Evangelist Hilda, 1 Chronicles 1 and 1, and Job 38, 4 through 7. Okay, and then we're going to get Evangelist Coates, Matthew 19, 4 through 5, and Evangelist Hilda, 1 Chronicles 11:17.
Okay. The first one,
I didn't ask for it yet. When I asked for it, you have it?
Okay, so Exodus 20 and what you said?
20 and 11. And the next one is 31 and 17. When I'm ready for it, okay?
Okay.
And then, if Genesis is untrustworthy, so must other parts of the Bible be. What do you think about that?
Say that again.
If Genesis is untrustworthy, so must other parts of the Bible be.
Oh, that's what it just said, isn't it? If Genesis
we know
is
what
untrustworthy,
it said. Not,
Genesis
what
is untrustworthy. You say if Genesis is untrustworthy, why not the rest of the Bible? Is that
no,
what
I
said
I said if Genesis is untrustworthy, so much other parts of the Bible be. So let's take a look at Exodus 20 and 11 first. And I'm going to get it along with you. Exodus 20 and 11. Hold it. Let me know when you have it.
Exodus 20 and 11. I got Exodus 10. Well, you ready?
20 and 11, yes, ma'am.
For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Amen. And 31 and 17.
And, okay, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed.
All right. Evangelist Hill, the First Chronicles 1 and 1.
The descendants of Adam were Seth, Enosh, Kenai, Mahalalel, Jared, and Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. The sons of Noah were, were Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Okay.
Oh, I went to.
So is that telling you anything?
They were no. They were just the sons of Noah. The ancestors.
Yeah, but it was giving you the genealogy. It sounded like it was giving you the genealogy of the sons of Noah.
Right. That's what it's doing. It's giving you the lineage or the genealogy of the sons of Noah. But it starts out with Adam. Adam, Sheth, Enosh. All right, it tells Noah later on, but it starts out with Adam.
Right, the descendants of Adam were Seth, Enosh.
Exactly. Job, okay, 38, Job.
4-7, the best of Job. 38, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me. If you know so much, who determined its dimension and stretch out the surveying line? What supports its foundation and who laid its cornerstone? As the morning star sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Amen.
Amen. So what's going on there?
Job was lamenting to God.
What do you mean by lamenting?
He was telling God, you know, why he's letting all these things happen. So God asked him, "Where were you when I made?" In other words, when he created everything.
Okay, so in 38, it's the Lord.
Yeah, the Lord was chastising Job.
Right, trying to get Job straight.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the previous chapter, Job might have been lamenting, but in 38, it's God asking Job, where were you when I made the world? Where were you? When I put the stars in the sky, where were you?
When I made the foundation of the earth.
When I told the water not to so far, and it didn't go but so far. So he's trying to set Job straight.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And us too.
Yeah.
All right.
Instead of answering Job's questions directly, God asked Job a series of questions which no human could possibly answer.
Right. So you read the commentary, okay?
No, that wasn't the commentary. They don't have a commentary for 4 and 7. In
okay.
My book. Yeah.
So that was Job. Let's see. Matthew 19, 4 through 5. Evangelist Post, Matthew. And then First Chronicles 11, 7 through 8. Evangelist Hilda. Matthew 19, 4 through 5.
Okay. As he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh?
Amen. That's the end.
You said 4 and 5.
Right, but when you stopped, I didn't know you were finished.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It stopped there. It stopped there.
Okay, thank you. First Chronicles.
It's Corinthians.
That's what I'm saying. I said First Corinthians after I said Chronicles.
Yeah.
First Corinthians 11, 7 through 8.
Okay. A man should not wear anything on his head when worshiping, for man is made in God's image and reflects God's glory. And women reflect man's glory. For the first man did not come from woman, but the first woman came from man.
Mm-hmm. Thoughts about that?
Yeah, because the first man was Jesus, and he came from through the Spirit, but the woman came from.
A man should not wear anything
on his head when worshiping.
No.
For man is made.
You're talking about Adam,
and reflects God's glory. So that's Adam, and woman.
Yeah, that's Adam.
Reflects man's glory. For the first man did not come from woman, but the first woman came from man. So in Adam came from the ground, and Eve came from Adam.
Right.
I'm going to have to study that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's being considered the first man.
Right.
Man, not deity, not Jesus.
Right.
But the first man was Adam.
Yes.
First woman was Eve.
Yes.
So the first man came from the dust of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And God breathed into the dust the breath of life.
Mm-hmm.
And man became a living soul. But
yes.
When God got ready to create a mate, a helpmate, what happened?
He put Adam to sleep and took his ribs and made Eve.
Before that, what happened? Before he put Adam to sleep.
He put Adam in a deep sleep.
What you saying? So before the deep sleep, what happened?
man, he knew that man couldn't be up here alone.
Right. I said he created a helpmeet. So what happened before that?
Yes, that Bluetooth. Whoever got that Bluetooth on this is feedbacking.
Well, you know it's me, so. So
what do you mean what happened?
I'm asking a plain question. Listen to the question before you can answer. You answered it the first time, and that's not what I'm looking for. Let me take it off the Bluetooth. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. When I said God created a helpmeet for Adam, what happened before he created the woman? You already said a deep sleep. That's not what I'm looking for.
Oh, well, Adam named the animals and stuff
right.
Like that. Is that what you're looking for?
Did you hear me say right?
Oh, okay.
So.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
What is there to explain? Adam did the name the animals.
So, and so what? What's that?
What do you mean? What's that?
He named the animals. So what? What's that about?
God created them and gave Adam the privilege and given them names.
Exactly. And what was the whole purpose of him naming the animals? Evangelist Hilda, what was the whole purpose?
I don't know. I'm confused. The purpose of naming the animals.
We're waiting.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here, but I don't know why. What was the purpose? You tell me.
Evangelist Coach, what was the purpose?
I'm waiting to hear from you.
Okay, I want your, that's homework. What was the purpose of him naming the animal? I already said. He was looking for a helpmeet. So God allowed him to name the animals. And in naming the animals, you have to listen to the answer if you want to hear the answer. Okay? So in naming the animals, he didn't find anything compatible to him.
Right.
So that's why he found no helpmate, nothing that he can mate with in the animals. So God had to give him something else. So he put him to sleep and did what?
Created woman for him.
Took out a rib and created woman. Right? So the whole purpose of him naming the animals was to find a helpmate. And he didn't find a helpmate in that. So God had to think of something else. That's not going to work. So let me do something different.
So I see where you were going at that. Okay.
I already went there. So that was your homework. You don't have to do that. That's already been done, okay? Now I might ask you again, so, you know, put a pin in that. What was the purpose of Adam naming the animal? All right? Anybody there? Is this thing on?
Yes, we
have to find him a helpmate. Okay.
All right. And 1 Corinthians 11, 7 through 8. Evangelist Hilda?
Yeah, I read it already.
Okay. All right. Excuse me.
No,
all right,
I'm just saying that I read it.
I heard
but
you.
I'll read it again.
It no, I don't again. Need you to read it again. No, no. No, no. Thank you. So
okay.
If Genesis is untrustworthy, so must other parts of the Bible be. Part two. A worldwide flood in the time of Noah did actually occur. That it was worldwide is attested to about a dozen times in Genesis 6 through 11, as well as in 2 Peter 2, 5, and 3, 6. So we're not going to read, Genesis 6 through 11. You can read that on your own if you want to. But I do want to look at 2 Peter 2 and 5, Evangelist Hilda, and 3 and 6 when I'm ready for it, and Evangelist Colt, 24:38-39, Matthew 24:38-39, and Luke 17:26-27 when I ask you for it. So, confirm the actuality of the flood in Matthew 24:38-39 and Luke 17:26-27. So again, if the truth of the flood is rejected or the extent of it shrunk to something local, then one will also have to reject the Lord's testimony and Peter's. See Hebrews 11:7. I'll read 11:7 of Hebrews. The record of the flood, like that of creation, cannot be said to be an exaggeration or falsification due to the primitive revelation of Genesis. So Evangelist Hills of 2 Peter 2, 5, and 3, 6.
Okay.
2 Peter 2 and 5 and 3 and 6.
Yes, ma'am. 2 and 5 says, and God did not spare the ancient world except for Noah and the seven others in his family. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. So God protected Noah when he destroyed the world of ungodly people with a vast flood. And 3 and 6 says, then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So what happened?
Well, the people didn't want to listen to Noah when God told him that he was going to destroy the world with the flood. So Noah and his children did what God told them to do, and they built the ark and all of the animals into the ark, and they went there, and then the floods came, and all the wicked people died.
Okay, so what did God want the people to do?
To what they want, he wanted them to worship him.
To repent. He wanted them to stop sinning.
Mm-hmm.
To repent. That's not the same thing.
But to repent means, doesn't repent mean to stop sinning?
It means to turn away from your sin.
Yeah, well, that's stopping sinning.
So it wasn't a matter of repenting. He wanted them to stop sinning. And so how long did Noah preach this message?
Until the day he built the ark, until even during when the flood came. So they were, when he finished that and the animals went on, he was still preaching.
I need a year. How long in years did it take?
Don't. It doesn't say here.
It does say in
in Genesis, because I read it, but I don't remember exactly how long it was.
Okay. Noah preached for 120 years.
120 years.
So he gave
them
an opportunity to stop sinning.
But they kept right on sinning. So how can you repent of something if you don't even acknowledge that there's a God trying to tell you to get yourself together? He wanted them to stop sinning. And they didn't believe Noah. That's the problem. Why do you think they didn't believe Noah?
Well, he coming up building something that they never seen before and they never heard of before. The building an ark.
Was Noah a prophet?
Was crazy.
Yeah. Was Noah a prophet?
Well, you can say Noah was a prophet in a way because he prophesied to the people. But
well, if you prophesy, then that makes you a prophet.
Yeah.
If you prophesy, that makes you a prophet. So why did they not believe the prophet?
Well, you have people today that don't believe prophets.
We're not talking about that. I'm talking about Noah. Why didn't those people believe Noah?
Well, they thought Noah was crazy, that he was.
You said that.
Yeah.
Why did they not believe Noah?
Well, there's, well, could be many, 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 many reasons. They thought he was crazy.
Give me one.
There's a crazy man building an ark.
We got the crazy.
Talking about God is going to put a flood on the earth if you don't stop sinning.
Right.
You have to turn to the Lord your God, and they didn't want to hear it. They were given in marriage. They were just having fun.
Evangelist Coates, I don't need you to give me the whole chapter. I just want a simple answer. Why did they not believe Noah?
Well, to sum it up, they just didn't believe him.
There's a reason. Why didn't they believe him?
Okay, so tell us the reason.
No, you don't tell me what to do. I'm asking you what to do.
I'm not telling you what to do.
You are. You said, well, so give us an answer.
Being that you already have the answer and you're discarding the answer that we are giving you.
No, that's not how it works. What I would like for you guys to use your brain and think about why they didn't
come up with it. You say that's not what you want us to say.
That's not the answer. That's not why.
Right.
Okay, so think a little harder. Why did they not believe Noah?
Because Noah believed in a God that they could not see.
No, it wasn't that either.
Okay.
Let's go back to Genesis.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Let's go back to Genesis. And let me see what chapter that's in. Noah's Ark. Okay, I'm looking at
the wickedness and the judgment of man is in the sixth chapter of Genesis.
Right. So what we're looking for is to find why they did not believe Noah. Okay?
And began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born.
I'm looking at 5. That's not the place that I want, but I'm reading. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination. Excuse me?
You said you was looking at 5?
6 and 5.
Chapter
6,
okay.
Verse 5.
Uh-huh.
And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast,
and the creeping things and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, but the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. What is pitch?
It's like a mortar.
Right, something to hold it together.
Yeah.
And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. The breadth of it, 50 cubits, and the height of it, 30 cubits. Okay, I want to go on, skip that part. Still not telling me why they did not believe. That's what I'm looking for. Well, for one thing, it had not rained on the earth. That's what I was trying to get to. It had not rained on the earth. They didn't know what that was.
Yeah, but that's what I was saying, that he's building an ark for something that never happened.
That doesn't tell me it hadn't rained.
That God regretted.
Okay.
That doesn't say that it had not rained.
No, God does not change his mind. Instead, he was.
And so this man is building a boat, an ark. A ship.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what rain was. They didn't know what a lot of water was.
Uh-huh.
So, they didn't believe what he was saying. They didn't believe him. Ultimately, that's what it was. They did not believe him. They didn't believe Noah. And they continued in their wickedness.
So the people's sin grieve God. Our sins break God's heart as much as sin did in Noah's day. Noah, however, pleased God, although he was far from perfect.
Can you read that up a little loud? I couldn't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just reading to myself. I was reading 6 and 7. The commentary says, does this mean that God regretted creating humanity? Was he admitting he made a mistake? No. God does not change his mind. 1 Samuel 15 and 29. Instead, he was expressing sorrow for what the people had done to themselves, as a parent might express sorrow over a rebellious child. God was sorry that the people chose sin and death instead of a relationship with him. So the people's sin grieved God. And just like our sin grieves God's heart as much as sin did in Noah's day, Noah, however, pleased God, although he was far from perfect. We can follow Noah's example and find favor with the Lord in spite of the sin that surrounds us.
Yes. Yeah, I like that breakdown.
That's the commentary. Yeah.
commentary, but commentary, breakdown, we're saying the same thing. We just use a different word.
Because I like it when they, you know, they put it in, like, plain English that you can understand what it's saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to go on.
Okay.
Everybody okay?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, so... again, if the truth of the flood is rejected or the extent of it shrunk to something local, then one will also have to reject the Lord's testimony. Oh, wait, we didn't read Matthew 24:38-39. Let's go back up there.
Okay.
The Lord confirmed the actuality of the flood in Matthew 24:38-39, and then Luke 17:26-27. Evangelist Coates,
Matthew 24, for as in the day before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away.
Mm-hmm.
So also will the coming of the Son of Man be.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened before the flood?
They were doing their thing. They were drinking,
sinning,
marrying, and, you know, doing what they felt was right and why but it wasn't.
They were just living.
Yep.
Yes.
Doing what they were doing before they were told about it. And even during the time they were told about it. Let's look at Luke. Say what?
I said they were being violent in the earth. They didn't care about anybody. No, because it said the earth was full of violence.
Exactly. That's what I read.
Yeah.
Luke 17:26-27. Evangelist Coates.
And it was in the days of Noah. So it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise,
That's it. What did it say, 27? All right.
Yeah.
So what was going on there?
They were drinking, they were marrying wives and doing their thing.
Right. They weren't thinking about what Noah was telling them.
Nope.
What was Noah telling them?
Noah was telling them that God was going to destroy the earth with a flood.
Right.
I would gather.
And like you said, he was preaching repentance. Turn around.
Yes.
Stop your evil ways.
Yes.
Stop being so wicked and so violent.
Yes.
And that's the same thing that's going on today.
Yep. They still not listening.
We are still not listening.
Right.
That's where the Apostle Paul comes in and gives you the signs of the last days. Dangerous times. Men shall be lovers of themselves, proud, blasphemous, unholy, unruly, disobedient to parents, and so on and so on and so on. So it's the same thing that Apostle Paul was telling Timothy what the last days would be.
But is there a difference with what Paul was telling us in Timothy?
sure, this time we have Jesus, sent his son, and the likeness of sinful flesh. In order for us to be saved. What?
That's true too, but there's a difference in Timothy in that this is what we see today. These are the last days.
Yeah.
And we see those very things going on, which even if we didn't know, if you read the word, you're seeing the signs of what it is that are telling you that in the last days men shall be lovers of themselves, thankless, hating their own parents, not ungrateful, all of those. We see that.
All those things. Yeah.
All those things. We see that. We see that. And in Noah's day, they apparently didn't see that.
Nope. They didn't. Because otherwise.
Until the last minute. Now, when the water came.
That was too late then.
When the flood came, then they were coming along begging to be saved.
Yeah.
You know?
When the ark was ark was closed up, it was too late.
Right.
Then
you got room for me? No, because you have time to turn away from your wicked ways and you refuse to do so. You wouldn't hear me. And I preached to you for 120 years that
that's
the end
right.
was coming. You didn't believe.
Yeah.
You kept on sinning. You kept on being wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
So
you will be destroyed.
Yes.
All right. So that was Luke 17:26-27. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to go down to the next paragraph because I already read that. Well, I'll read it again. So again, if the truth of the flood is rejected or the extent of it shrunk to something local, then one will also have to reject the Lord's testimony. And Pete, see also Hebrews 11 and 7. And I have that. Hebrews 11 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 11 and 7. I had it and I turned away from it. And that's one of my, 11 and 6 is one of my favorite verses. But I'll read 11 and 7 first. 11 and 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So what are some of those things that, amen, some of those things that had not been seen?
Water, the flood.
Amen.
Rain.
Mm-hmm. Rain. Rain. Rain had not played.
Yeah, they never saw rain.
No, exactly. But this is one of my favorite scriptures, 11 and 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Mm-hmm.
But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently
seek
him.
Amen.
So you have to have faith, and you have to believe that he exists.
Exactly.
He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Glory. So the record of the flood, like that of creation, cannot be said to be an exaggeration or falsification due to the primitive revelation of Genesis. Any thoughts about that?
Nope.
Can you read that again, Barbara?
The last line is, the record of the flood, like that of creation, cannot be said to be an exaggeration or falsification due to the primitive revelation of Genesis.
What they mean by the primitive
right.
revelation of Genesis.
that's an old thing, primitive. It's, you know, it's not new. It's one of the former things, the former revelation of Genesis, an old kind of revelation of Genesis.
I said
no thoughts about that. Okay, y'all think about that if you want to. Ramifications of the truth of a universal flood include these. The water involved may indicate the existence of a vapor canopy that condensed at the time of the flood, producing how many days? Don't answer, Evangelist Hilda. How many days of heavy rain was there?
How many days of heavy rain was it? Was it 40 days or 40 nights? Yes, ma'am. Amen. 40 days of heavy rainfall.
And we're going to look at Genesis 1, verses 6 through 8, Evangelist Hilda, get that, and then we're going to finish this paragraph. And Evangelist Coates get Genesis 7, 11 through 12. First, we got 1, 6 through 8. Genesis 1, 6 through 8. 1, 6 through
8. Genesis 7, 11.
1, 6 through 8 says, then God said, let there be a space between the waters, to separate the waters of the heaven from the water of the earth. And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from waters of the heaven. God called the space sky, and the evening passed, and morning came, marking the second day. Amen. 1 through 8.
Amen.
6 through 8.
Amen. Praise Any God. Thoughts about that?
No, that is so self-explanatory. He just separated.
Okay, so we're
going
to compare it to, we're going to compare it to Genesis 7, 11, 12, Evangelist Coates.
And the 611. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep was broken up, and the windows of heaven was opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights.
All right.
Amen.
So what happened then?
The great deep, the great deep, the waters were broken up, and you see, the fountains of the great deep was broken up. And the windows of heaven was open.
Okay, so what does that mean? What does that mean? The windows of heaven were open.
It was flooding from it was became the flood from heaven.
Okay, it rained. Oh Lord, did it rain? That's what that means. Okay.
Oh Lord, did it rain?
Did it rain? All right, let me finish the paragraph. I've got like another sentence or two. This would have caused a drastic change in the climate of the world after the flood, and certain other results. Of course, the uniformitarianism on which dating methods are based would have been affected by this. So what is uniformitarianism?
I have no idea. I was going to ask you what it was.
Things done the same way, in a uniform fashion.
Ah.
Okay, so of course, the same way of doing things on which dating methods are based would have been affected by this, talking about the flood. All right?
Okay.
Yeah. So we're going to stop right here. What time is it? It's 8:04. Okay. We're going to stop right here, young ladies. And we're going to pick it up at the next paragraph, which is the flood. Almost finished with this chapter. We got a couple of more paragraphs, okay?
Okay.
And when we finish with when we finish with the Bible and origins, we're going to chapter 31 about the creation of man.
All right.
That sounds great.
Excuse me?
No, I was just thinking out loud. I was thinking out loud to find out about getting this book because it's theology, basic theology.
So why don't you get the book from Amazon?
Yeah, I'm going to look into it.
Okay, I mean, they can deliver it, you know, within a couple of days. All right. You have the author. You wrote it down. You have the title. And so you just go online. And so you just go online and order.
Yeah, I got to find out what's in my Cash App.
Come here. Okay.
All
right. So, and it's a hardcover. I don't know if they have it in a softback, but it's a hardcover. All right. So we're going to pray out. Precious and Heavenly Father, it's once more and again a few of your humble servants assembled to get a better understanding of your word. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity to get together and discuss your word. Lord, above all that, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a new day, a day we've never seen before. So we thank you for the ladies on the line. We thank you for the listening audience. We thank you for Lady Nadine, who may not have been able to join us this evening. I pray that she's well, that, you know, that she's well. Amen. Bless her household. Bless all those that are involved with her, as with the other ladies on the line. Bless their households. Bless them as they come and bless them as they go. Just continue to be all that you are in our lives, Father God. We can't do nothing without you. So, God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission, and just thank you for your grace and mercy, your unconditional love, your favor, Lord God. Thank you for you. And most of all, we thank you for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus. All these mighty blessings we ask in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Go and grace.
Precious.
Have a beautiful evening.
Beautiful lesson.
Oh, hallelujah. Glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise
thank
God.
You all
hallelujah.
For being a part of it. And no
thank
homework.
You.
Thank
you.
Want to read Genesis. If you want to read Genesis, though, please read. We got to be looking at Genesis probably 1 and 3. 1 through 3. So if you get
chapters
1
through 3.
1 through 3, if you want to.
Okay,
take a look at that, okay? All right. Love you all.
Love you too. Thank you for an excellent lesson tonight.
Oh, God bless your heart. God bless your heart. Love you too. Shalom.
Shalom, everyone. Have a good night. Stay safe.
You too. You too.
Okay. No music. I'm closing out.